Candidates, you have 2 minutes to introduce yourself. We will now hear from Borough Assembly candidate Monique Lewis. You have 2 minutes, Ms. Lewis.
All right. So first of all, thank you, Mr. Lindsay and KMXD, for hosting the event. And thank you to everybody who is here or listening on the radio. I think that's probably one of the most important parts of our government is the people who we represent. So about myself, I'm a mother of three. I have two adult children, one currently living with me, trying to find a place for him and his new wife and my soon-to-be-born granddaughter to live. One is attending the Fire Academy in North Carolina with plans to return, and one is a five-year-old who is in kindergarten at the Chiniac School. So you can infer from my family structure that I have an interest in an affordable Kodiak, and I want my children to want and be able to stay here, and I want your children to want and to be able to stay here. More about me, I'm a volunteer firefighter with Bayside. I sit on the Chiniac Library Board of Directors. I'm on the executive board of my church. I've been involved in similar organizations in each community that I've called home throughout my time as a military spouse. Serving in the Army myself, and even when I was a military brat growing up, I was extremely active in my school, my community, and my church. I'm not a politician. I'm not always good at saying what I think people want me to say. I'm usually pretty good about speaking my mind. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. But I'm also not afraid to say that I don't know the answer to something or that I need more information before making a decision. That doesn't mean I'm a fence sitter. It just means that I want to be comfortable that the comments that I make aren't going to be something that I have to reverse later on. So thank you again.
Thanks, Monique. And Scott Smiley, you're up, sir.
I was appointed to the vacant seat on the Borough Assembly in June, and I've been doing that since then. I've also been attending school board meetings since last November in order to find out more about how our borough money is spent. My background is that I'm a retired professor from the university. I worked as a professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks for 24 years. The last 17 years of that was at the Fishery Technology Center across on Near Island. I was director for 11 years and faculty for the rest of the time there. I had a fair amount of experience in dealing with issues in fish harvesting and fish processing while at that at the Fish Tech Center. I'm a parent of a 26-year-old young man who now lives in Portland. He went through the school district, school system here from kindergarten to graduation. My wife works for the school district, is a working in the central office there. She's been working there for 15 or 16 years now. My interests in being a borough assemblyman are that I think I can contribute, give back something to the community. We're facing a lot of serious problems at the level of the borough, not the least of which is the significant financial crisis that's grabbed our state due to low oil prices. There are other issues that are crucial too, including questions about borough codes being updated and things of that sort.
Thank you, Scott. Matthew Van Dale, you're up, sir.
Thanks, Lindsay. I know that I'm very fortunate to have been raised here in this wonderful community of Kodiak, and I feel even more fortunate that I was able to return here to my hometown and make a go of it and have a living here. And Kodiak's given so much to me and my family, I feel it's time for me to start giving back. And we've got many important issues facing our community. It's hard to pinpoint just one single issue to focus our attentions on. And what I feel the undercurrent of all of the issues is our need to have a coherent and a unifying vision of where we want Kodiak to go in the 21st century and what we want all of our communities to be going forward. And the answer, I believe, is all around us. It's you sitting in this room right now, all of you listening to the radio, reading this article on the internet in the future. It's also what you see when you step out the front door with the landscape that shaped our culture and the natural resources that fuel our economies and also all of our different unified communities that give us strength. And I'm running because I want to give you the opportunity to have a new voice and a fresh perspective in your local government. And I feel very strongly that we can get through this. We've gotten through many things in the past, and our best guide for our path into the future is our history and our heritage. And I'm ready and willing to work with you and for you to develop a prosperous future for Kodiak, that so that we can remain true to our character that's got us to where we are today. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. So, Borough Assembly candidates, here are the ground rules for the evening. Each candidate will be asked a number of questions this evening. The first candidate to answer the first question will be the last to answer the second question, and so on. You will have 2 minutes to answer each question. You will see a green light telling you when to start. Then you will see a yellow light, which tells you that you have 30 seconds remaining. You will see a red light that will indicate that your time has expired. Again, each candidate has 2 minutes, and we're going to start with Monique tonight. So, and I'll read each question each time for each of you. So, question number one to start us off. Is there a specific issue or reason you felt compelled to run for office this year? If elected, what are your top two priorities for the coming year? Monique.
Thank you. So I'm not running on any particular platform. In fact, I'm a little leery of finding an issue to per se stand on. I'm running because my husband and I chose to retire in Kodiak, and I feel it's my duty to serve the community that I live in with the talents and abilities that I've been blessed with. I've done so by being a firefighter, worship leader, sitting on community organizations and committees, and now I've been asked to step up even more and run for assembly. I'm blessed with a supportive family, the time to commit, and past experience professionally in difficult financial situations that I think will assist me in representing the community, which that is the most important thing, is representing the community. I have sought to put that and other skills that I have to use for service in the community on 3 prior occasions this past year. I applied for the manager's job, I applied for the marijuana task force, and I applied for the assembly appointment. So the desire to serve is not fleeting, and I don't intend to get discouraged or give up. Regarding priorities, the main one is really to push the idea of representative government. I want to have the confidence that my vote represents the will of the community. And the only way that I can do that is by getting to know the community better. So that would have to be my top priority. And then working with the assembly and members of the community to find ways of weathering the financial storm that we're currently in and that we're seeing, and reverse the exodus of good people that are leaving the island. Those are my top two priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. So, Scott, the same question for you. Is there a specific issue or reason you felt compelled to run for office this year? If elected, what are your top two priorities for the coming year?
The specific reason that I'm running for office is that I felt that it was necessary to try to give back to the community, and particularly to understand the relationship between the borough and the school district and the school district's budget, which is the largest part of the borough's budget. The issues that are most pertinent are the state fiscal crisis. This is going to dominate conversations for at least the next year, and if not much is done in Juneau, then maybe for longer than that. It's the fiscal issue is compounded by the particularly nasty pink salmon harvest this year, where we had only 3 million pinks landed, where the average is 15 million. That's going to have a serious ramification in terms of severance tax, landing tax, etc., for the borough, meaning that we're going to have to find ways to balance the budget. We're going to have to find ways to cut spending in some way and to increase revenue in another way. And those choices are going to be very difficult to make. We had a very difficult time this year trying to deal with the issue of nonprofits on the borough assembly. We had originally budgeted to cut nonprofits by 40% from the year before, and then changed our mind and tried to find money to do that. But then we were hit by the governor with another $1.3 million cut, and that kind of crippled our attempts to solve that issue. So those are the main problems that we're facing.
Thank you, Scott. Matt, is there a specific reason or issue that you felt compelled to run for office this year? If elected, what are your top two priorities for the coming year?
The specific issue and turn of events that compelled me to run was my service on the Borough Lands Committee. And I'm extremely proud of what we've been able to accomplish through consensus by this committee. But at the same time, I'm frustrated that we haven't been able to do more of passing some of these things by this committee through the Assembly. And this is what compelled me to run. And the two top priorities I have, if elected for the coming year, are the land sale and also the Title 18 amendments of trying to incentivize people to start building homes on acquired land. And I do believe that opening up borough land for public sale is very good, but I also feel that if we do too much of this, it's only reacting to a symptom. It's not actually treating the underlying problem. And we need to start working on the underlying issues and be proactive with these before opening up more land is really going to alleviate the housing crisis. And I feel that there are four main things that we need to start working on right now. And the first is engaging with the Coast Guard to make more opportunities for housing on base, to give options for the Coast Guard and their families to be able to live on base. But also at the same time, this would acknowledge the importance of the Coast Guard in our local economy, but also start opening up existing houses for immediate use by potentially longer-term residents of Kodiak. And the second is working with the private owners of small parcels. You know, there's several hundred small parcels in private ownership around Kodiak that are just lying fallow. They're not having houses built on them. And to wrap this up very quickly, building and borough codes we need to be looking at, as well as public-private partnerships to try to increase opportunities for affordable housing in apartment complexes. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Scott, you're going to start us off with the second question. Studies show that communities that plan residential and business district development to include green space and open space increases property values. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, and the demand for developmental land is high. How do you plan to balance the need for conservation with the need to develop?
I don't know that I would do that. I would assume that the borough staff would be involved in that. I think I agree with what Matt said about trying to find new land for housing. We're dealing with a couple of parcels right now on the borough assembly. And some of them are fairly large and would be probably amenable to including green space in them. I think that what we're trying to do is find ways to incentivize that, and I think that's going to be a challenge given borough codes. So I think we're going to have to work on borough codes as well.
Thank you, Scott. Matt. Studies show that communities that plan residential and business district development to include green space and open space increase property value. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, and the demand for developmental land is high. How do you plan to balance the needs of conservation with a need to develop?
There is a tremendous amount of potential for both new housing and as well as resource development without paving over every acre of green space. And I agree completely that having green belts in open areas definitely not only increases property value, but also just increases the happiness of the people that are living near those areas. And the balance is responsible stewardship. It's a balance between utilization and preservation. It's also a recognition of our generational responsibility for meeting current needs and saving for the future. And it's absolutely essential for us to ensure a stable and secure future for Kodiak through sustainable use of our natural resources. And with some of the small parcels of land that we've already proposed through the Land Committee, there has been pushback from neighbors that opening up these small parcels of land would fundamentally change the nature and character of the neighborhoods that they chose to live in. And this is a very, very valid point. And before we start impeding this character of these neighborhoods, I strongly feel that we need to exhaust all of our other options. And one of these would be through the public and private partnerships of the large tracts of land that are in private ownership. that aren't being developed right now. And I feel that there is a way that we as a municipal government, as a borough, that we could start engaging with these private owners to find a way to develop some of these parcels that are congruous with existing uses nearby these parcels for low-income housing, high-density housing, apartment complexes, things of that, while not impeding the nature and character of what people love about their existing neighborhoods.
Thank you, Matt. Monique, studies show that communities that plan residential and business district development to include green space and open space increase the property values. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, and the demand for developmental land is high. How do you plan to balance the need of conservation with the need to develop?
Thank you, Mr. Lindsay. I absolutely do believe that green space is one of the reasons that people choose to live here. The resources that we have, the beauty of the island, that's why people choose to live here. So we do have to be very, very careful that we don't take that away. We've seen some examples of what can go wrong when resources are allowed to just be systematically depleted. And I think we need to be very, very careful that we don't continue in that systematic depletion. But I definitely agree with Mr. Vandale's comments and ideas for working with the Coast Guard to free up immediately available housing. I think that's a great idea. I think that incentivizing current owners to build on the properties that they already own without having to free up some of this other land that would change the nature of the island. I think those are things that need to be exhausted before we look at the, you know, massive development projects. We're not at that point right now. Right now, we need to get to basics and figure out how we're gonna make use of the tracks that are already there in a way that actually benefits the community and not the developers that are sitting on them waiting for their golden opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. So, Matt, you're going to start us off with question three. Advisory question number one is asking for public input on whether the borough should pursue the idea of consolidation with the Kodiak Island Borough and the city of Kodiak into a single unit of government. What are your thoughts and feelings on this?
I think that there was a recent article in the Kodiak Daily Mirror, and the title was Solutions Short of Consolidation. I thought that was a just perfectly aptly named title. I am all for greater efficiencies and cost saving in government, but I frankly don't see how consolidation with the city is going to solve these problems. It feels like it may actually create new problems. I think that we as a borough need to get our own house in order before we start trying to take on other aspects. And I think that there are many things that we could work together with the city to accomplish, such as all of the different boards or commissions or advisory panels that are duplicated between the borough and the city, that the same folks show up to speak at these boards and these commissions, and the same issues are discussed. And I think that if there were a way that we could combine these boards and commissions, it would increase communication and ties between the borough and the city, because we don't exist in a vacuum. We all shop at Safeway and Walmart, even if we don't live within city limits. Many of us run city water and sewer, but we're outside of city limits. And the approach that I would advocate is just to go to the city's table and sit down and speak with them and go in without any preconceived notions and listen to their thoughts and their feelings and their concerns and their ideas and really make them feel welcome and just start the dialogue instead of trying to solve problems that may not even exist. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. So, Monique, advisory question number one is asking for public's input on whether the borough should pursue the idea of consolidation of the Kodiak Island Borough and the city of Kodiak into a single unit of government. What are your thoughts and feelings on this?
So this is kind of a loaded question, because the question on the ballot isn't whether or not we should consolidate, it's whether we should look into it. And I'm absolutely in favor of looking into any opportunities that we could have to gain efficiencies and reduce costs in the government. Since we are all committed to a more cost-effective way of life, I think it would be irresponsible not to do the due diligence in exploring whether or not consolidation would create a more efficient and cost-effective government. I do have extensive experience in mergers and acquisitions through both professionally and educationally that I believe will prove helpful in sorting through what is sure to be a great deal of complex information. But absolutely, we should be looking into it because if for no other reason to be able to say that we looked into it and then made an informed decision one way or the other. Thank you.
Thanks, Monique. So, Scott, advisory question number one is asking for public input on whether the borough should pursue the idea of consolidation of the Kodiak Island Borough and the city of Kodiak into one single unit of government. What are your thoughts and feelings on this?
My understanding was that the question on the ballot was whether we should look into it, not whether we should do it. If we're going to look into it, it's going to cost money. And the question is, how much money is it going to cost? There is a background argument that we're going to be more efficient if we do roll the two bodies together. There are arguments that were made in past attempts to deal with the issue of consolidation, suggesting that there are hidden costs, one of which is police powers, that if we consolidated, the city has police powers, but the borough does not. The borough uses state troopers. And if we consolidated with the city, we would have police powers, meaning we would have to hire additional personnel, significant number of additional personnel at significant costs. So just looking at it on the surface is not enough. We have to look deeply into the issue. It may take an outside company to do the investigation, because the staff on the borough is not really equipped to analyze things at that level. So the question is, should we do that? Should we look? The answer is obviously yes, we should look. There are a number of people in the borough that think that this is a reasonable idea, and we need to find out whether it is or not. So yes.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Question number four, and Monique, you'll be starting us off. State spending will continue to decrease because of the decline in oil prices, resulting in fewer funds for projects and employees, as well as a decline in municipal revenue sharing. How do you plan to offset those decreases when it comes to the borough budget?
So I think the key is to diversify our economy. And the key to diversification is obviously balance. We've talked a little bit tonight about natural resources. We obviously can't hang everything on depleting our natural resources. That would be irresponsible. We have tremendous opportunities and challenges with the fishing industry. We shouldn't be hanging our entire livelihood or laying our entire livelihood at the feet of the fishing industry either. We have a lot of potential for tourism, but we shouldn't be looking at going at becoming the Kenai. We shouldn't be we could do this in such a way that our rivers don't have, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder fishermen combat fishing like the Kenai. And I know people here don't want to see that. But if we looked at all of these different avenues, then we should be able to find some kind of a balance. What I do believe is that we have the knowledge, we have the desire of the people in the community to participate, and not only in the community, but also in staff and the people that are currently on the assembly and those who are running for assembly. I think we have the brain power to come up with some ideas. And it shouldn't be one idea. It should be multiple ideas, and it should be ideas that will help the entire community and that the entire community has some stake in. Thank you.
Thanks, Monique. So, Scott, state spending will continue to decrease because of the decline in oil prices, resulting in fewer funds for projects and employees, as well as a decline in municipal revenue sharing. How do you plan to offset those decreases when it comes to the borough budget?
Well, we're facing that right now. We just took a $1.3 million hit on the loan that funded the high school. So we're trying to deal with that issue. It's a challenge. We have to cut spending, and we have to try to find ways to increase revenue. If we were to try to build new employment sectors in the community, it would take time, and it will probably take more time than we have in terms of dealing with the budget issues. We're going to have to deal with the $1.3 million right away, and we're going to either have to dip into savings or we're going to have to raise taxes, and both of those are unpleasant choices. The only other alternative is to cut spending, but we don't have a whole lot that we can cut anymore. We gave kind of a short amount of money to the school board, to the school district this year, less than we had in the past. We cut back on nonprofits this year. So I'm not sure how much is left to cut. I'm not a person who carries the budget around in their head. There's a very fat book that I have at home that has that information. But I do think that the state is going to have to wrestle with this as fast as we have to wrestle with it. And I suspect that the governor's program to raise taxes is going to and to cut spending is going to have to start us off on that.
Okay, thank you, Scott. So, Matt, state spending will continue to decrease because of the decline in oil prices, resulting in fewer funds for projects and employees, as well as a decline in municipal revenue sharing. How do you plan to offset these decreases when it comes to the borough budget?
I have to admit, lately, it really feels like we've all been living in Nottingham with the level of taxes that we've been facing. But the sad reality is that this is one of the elements to balancing a budget, because we've got really three options before us that I see, and that's cutting back on services, the traditional sources of revenue reliance being taxes, but also finding alternative sources of revenue. And I think that the answer lies in the combination of all of these three areas. And to me, something that I would advocate emulating and learning from is actually KEA, how they've used innovative technologies. They've had really excellent outside the box ideas. They've turned Kodiak into a showcase for the entire world of what we can do with our natural resources in smart, responsible ways. And this ultimately becomes something that we can all be proud of as a community. And I think that's something that the borough can learn from. So let's emulate KEA. Let's capitalize on what they've already done with our natural resources, and let's use this to leverage new industries and new technologies to come into Kodiak that would want to be part of our success story and also want to have access to these relatively cheap and renewable energies and use this to develop these new industries and develop our other natural resources with the fish and the timber and the rocks. It's really the sky's the limit with this. And in doing this is also going to attract more people to come into Kodiak, to be able to come here, live here, raise families here, become part of our community, and ultimately increase our tax base without increasing the taxes on those of us already here.